These procedures with neck beads and so forth, these are standard procedures that are part of the initiation process that Srila Prabhupada gave us, but please don't be surprised that there's scriptural authority standing behind these processes. In an essay that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Thakur wrote, called Pancha Sangskar, there are five elements or component parts that are within the Diksha process. Diksha is one of the primary sangskaras within the course of life. And these sangskaras, they're marking sandhis or junctures of life as the soul is passing. We were reading in the Bhagavatam class this morning about the soul moving from one position to the next position, one body to another body. And as the soul is passing or transmigrating through the different phases of life, there are sangskaras at each of those junctures. And Diksha is one of them, and perhaps the most important. Because in the journey of the soul, if without this particular step, or sangskara, or Diksha, then the soul is certain to be bound to samsara, or the cycle of birth and death. So there are five elements that are scripturally to be brought into the process of initiation. One of them is this awarding or providing of the disciple with kunti mala, neck beads, and tilak markings, just as mentioned, urdvam pundra. Vertical tilak is the second. One can certainly wear neck beads and have tilak before initiation as purification and preparation. But at initiation, it becomes formal. And a third is tapa. And in the Gaudiya line, the line of Lord Chaitanya made this tapa very simple. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that in the Sri Sampradaya, the tapa is different. It's the branding upon the body of the marks of Vishnu. I guess it doesn't hurt that much. But in our Gaudiya Sampradaya, Lord Chaitanya didn't require that branding or marking of the body with burning the symbols of Vishnu upon the skin, but our tapa is repentance or regret of our previous misuse of this human form of life and the misuse of our free will, and as a result, so many fruitive activities we engaged in, foolishly and needlessly implicating ourselves in the network of karma, and with the network of karma, as we've been hearing in the Bhagavatam, receiving a body, and receiving the body, then further material activities and further bondage and more implication in the material realm. So tapa for a Gaudiya Vaishnava is this regret. Prabhupada spoke of it in yesterday's purport as disgust with our involvement with the material energy. Distancing ourselves from that previous involvement and embracing the path leading to Krishna. A fourth item is receiving the deity. Particularly this is for when one receives Gayatri Mantra, the purpose of receiving Gayatri Mantra, just as Padmanabha is going to be receiving Gayatri Mantra, then there's the Ishtadev, the worshipable deity. And along with Gayatri and Brahminical initiation comes this service, at least the opportunity to render service to the deity, form of the Lord. In the formal way, only the brahmanas or Brahminically initiated devotees may worship the deity on the altar. And the fifth item is receiving a name, so that the calling of the name of that person will remind them of Krishna or Krishna's loving devotees, because remembering Krishna's loving devotees means remembering Krishna or some of Krishna's wonderful qualities or the wonderful qualities of Krishna's wonderful devotees. In this way, remembering Krishna. Because sankskara marks a transition, there's what one is giving up and what one is receiving or accepting or entering into. And the entering into is entering into acceptance by the disciplic succession, which means acceptance by Krishna, by the line that comes from Krishna, descending, the Guru Parampara. And one makes that connection with the Guru Parampara with the current link. Prabhupada used that phrase. Because in a chain of disciplic succession, there's many links. But one must make connection with the current link in that chain of disciplic succession. And initiation signifies two things, this submission unto and acceptance by the chain or line of disciplic succession. And it's formalizing that. Prior to initiation, it's preparation. Just like a student may study. They have a teacher or professor, and they're studying some courses. And after some time, there's an exam. So, upon completion of the exam, then there's acceptance. This student is now formally recognized as having a completed degree of study at such and such university. Only this is more than just a certificate. This is an eternal event, a very momentous occasion. One's material identity becomes nullified. One's reactions to one's past sinful activities becomes formalized and eliminated by the process of diksha. And that act is their submission unto the line of disciplic succession. Tasmat guru prapadyeta jigyasu shreya uttama shabde parecha nishnatam brahmani upashrama ashrayam. Prabhupada would often quote this verse from the Shastra that explains that the jigyasu shreya uttama is the position of a devotee. That is, they're inquisitive, jigyasu, into the ultimate benefit, the ultimate well-being for the living entity, for themselves. And having made that inquiry, not just the inquiry that comes every day, what's the weather going to be today? Is it going to be raining? Or what's the price of rice today in the market? Or what happened when Barack Obama came to Delhi? Some kind of inquiry of, or another everyone is making. Even, Prabhupada explains, even the birds get up in the morning and they're inquiring, where is food? Where is food? So when we transform that inquiring spirit into Shreya and Shreya Uttama, then Tasmat Guru Prapadyeta, one requires a spiritual master and one should surrender there for that, fulfilling that inquisitive spirit. And very nicely, compactly within the verse, the qualifications of that person who one should surrender unto as a spiritual master. Shabde. Shabda. They've heard from spiritual authority the conclusions of the scripture. Shabde pare chanishnatam. They can, when the relevant inquiries are presented unto that spiritual master, they can eradicate or eliminate all doubts or uncertainties on proceeding on the path back to Godhead. And all material activities are gone. Brahmani upashramashrayam, having taken complete shelter in the spiritual position, the material activities are absent. Fruitive activities and mental speculation are absent in such a person. That is the individual that one should inquire from, and the inquiry should be into the ultimate destination and well-being of the soul. Such a person is eligible for surrendering to a spiritual master and being accepted by the spiritual master. So this marks that stage, juncture. And our three candidates here don't even understand what I'm saying because they don't speak English and I don't speak Hindi. And they're of mature age, but at any stage of life, when one has the good fortune of coming in contact with the teachings of pure devotional service, then at that stage one should take shelter. So Jagatananda Prabhu has been guiding these devotees, and he shared with me, he spoke with them for an hour and a half yesterday in Hindi, and examined to see how clearly and carefully they understood what they're doing. Because initiation isn't just a fashion. All the other kids are doing it, so let's do it. But it's, there needs to be this genuine spirit of taking shelter of the process of devotional service in a very committed way. Because there are, the process is powerful, but one needs to appreciate the real purpose of the process. I thought I would spend a little bit of time and discuss Lord Chaitanya's instructions in the process of chanting the holy name. A little bit. Because this is Harinam Diksha. These three devotees will be receiving initiation into the chanting of the holy name. And with the chanting of the holy name, something that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur teaches is that chanting is more than simply making some sound. The mouth goes and some sound comes out. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Bhaktisiddhanta says you can make a machine that will make that sound. Now technology is so sophisticated. They can make so many ways of making that sound. Voice simulation. That's not chanting. Or you can train certain animals or birds. You can train a parrot to chant. Haribo. Haribo. There was a parrot in Mayapur on the balcony of the Lotus building. And it was in a cage. So all the devotees that would go by would try to get the parrot to say Hari Bol. So after some time, he picked up on how to say Hari Bol.
Hari Bol, Hari Bol.
And then some devotees got very sophisticated, and they taught him how to chant Radharani's name.
Radhe, Radhe, Radhe.
But the real test is, where does one's thought go at the time of death or danger? Let's say before death, danger. Some very difficult situation comes. Where's your shelter? You don't have to wait for a difficult situation. Just put your hand in your bead bag and start to chant and watch where your mind goes. And it goes to other places, commonly, than the holy name. So when danger comes, same thing happens. The mind goes to some other place. And what's that place? Especially in danger, it goes to where you think there's shelter or protection. Just like a Jamila, his mind went to his little son. What's his little son going to do? Little baby. But because he was attached, his mind went there. Fortunately, he named his son Narayan. One time I was coming back from book distribution and traveling by a subway train. And I had to switch from the A train to the F train. So I got off the platform. It was about 8:30 at night. And when I got off the subway platform, there was a crowd of people crowded around a man who was on the platform dying. So here's, imagine the scene. At night in New York City, and here's a man dying on the subway platform. And, you know, he's like convulsing, and I didn't see blood, but somehow he was on his way out. And the people around the man said, "What's your last wish? Can I have a cigarette? Give the guy a cigarette. Give the guy a cigarette." So he lit up a cigarette and started smoking on his cigarette. And they said, "Is there anything else you want?"
"I want Susie." "Where's Susie?"
His girlfriend. And with that, with a cigarette in his hand, saying, "Where is Susie?" he left his body. So we don't know where he went, but we know where he didn't go. He didn't go back to Godhead. His shelter wasn't Krishna. So when we're chanting Krishna's name, we should chant with at least aspiring for that objective, that it's not just making some sound, but we're taking shelter of that sound vibration. It's not that the name represents Krishna. The name is Krishna. Abhinatvan nama namino. Nama chintamani Krishnas chaitanya rasa vigraha purnashuddho nityamukto abhinatvam nama namino. Abhina means non-different. And tvam means having the quality of non-difference. Nama, namino. The name and the object named are abhinna. They're non-different. So we're calling Krishna's name. Krishna is there. But our mind has shelter elsewhere. But we're calling Krishna's name. Ideally, we should connect the two, calling Krishna's name and our place of shelter. But our heart is not there, so we're practicing, knowing that we don't have attraction. But we want to have attraction. That's why we're chanting. Dur daivam idrisha mahajani nanuraga. We don't have anurag. It's nanurag. They have no attraction. So to develop attraction, there are some stages that Lord Chaitanya teaches within Shikshastakam. Trinadapi sunichena taror apisahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Just like Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita, that if one who has knowledge is, their first two symptoms are humility and pridelessness. Without humility and pridelessness, you're not going to have knowledge. Without humility and pridelessness, you're not going to take shelter of Krishna. You can chant Krishna's name out of some selfish purpose, but not really taking shelter of Krishna for the purpose that Krishna is affording. Shelter in Him alone is to be aspired for. Because the hands of the clock are still moving, I want to share something that Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes from that position of humility. It's easy to develop humility. Here's how. Try to chant with attention. Very quickly you'll realize something. I'm not able to chant with attention. If you don't try to chant with attention, you won't realize that. You just chant like the Haribo, Haribo. But if you try to chant with attention, you'll realize it's not happening. And you try and try and it's not happening. And then you'll realize I don't have the capacity. I require Krishna's mercy. And when you call sincerely for the descending mercy of Krishna along with chanting Krishna's holy name, then you have shelter in the holy name. And when you have shelter in the holy name, then, my dear devotees, this common question, when will I get the taste? The taste comes after you have shelter and not before. So that means before it's purposeful for cleansing or seeking shelter with humility in one's heart. That's a big step. Giant step. It's not painful, but it's a giant spiritual step to genuinely become humble, call for Krishna's descending mercy, and to feel Krishna's shelter. And when you feel Krishna's shelter, that happiness is described in Shikshastakam verse number 5. I want to read some very nice translation. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's translation. I'll read it slowly. And I don't have a Hindi translation, I'm sorry. O Lord, this is in the mood of having taken shelter when chanting. O Lord Krishna, O son of Nanda Maharaj, I am your eternal servant. But as a result of my previous activities, I have fallen into this terrible ocean of material existence. Lust, greed, anger, envy, and all the rest are my adversaries. They are my enemies. They wait in the waters of this ocean of material existence like big fish ready to swallow me up. Waves of my hope, waves of my anxieties toss me here and there, making my life miserable, lashing storms of bad association add further suffering. In this condition, therefore, I see you alone as my shelter. I now and then see some small bunches of weeds floating by. These are the weeds of karma, jnana, yoga, austerities, etc. I tried to catch hold of them to help me as I am ravaged by the storms of my fate in the ocean of material existence. But has anyone ever crossed the mighty ocean of nescience by their strength? And trying to swim across this ocean, some have reached out to grab the weeds for support. But unfortunately, everything, including the person himself, sinks like dead weights. Factually, I can see that there is no hope for shelter other than your limited mercy. The sturdy boat of your holy name is the only means of crossing over the dangerous ocean of material existence. Soberly considering these facts, I beg for the invincible boat of the holy name from my guru, who gave me his causeless mercy. O Lord, you are the renowned protector of your devotee, those souls surrendered unto your lotus feet. Therefore, please accept this homeless, destitute, this poverty-stricken person who has no wealth. Cleanse me of my faults and consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. There's other translations, but I like that translation very much. One should become conversant in the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. The essence of all the Srimad Bhagavatam are in Lord Chaitanya's teachings, these Shikshastakam verses, very nicely compressed and contain the essence. How to reach the goal, reach the other side of the ocean of material existence safely in Krishna's shelter at his lotus feet through the boat of his holy name. If one calls upon Krishna's holy name in that successive mood of shelter taking, you have Krishna's association. Of course, even if we don't do that, it's purifying. But those who are sincere, this Jigyasu Shreya Uttama candidates, should apply themselves, strive. Abhyasa, we've been saying. Abhyasa yoga yuktena. Chetasa nanya gamino. The instructions are there. Take shelter of the instructions. How to properly chant the holy name and receive Krishna's shelter. In the course of striving in that way, there are offenses to be avoided, to offend the devotees of the Lord is to be carefully guarded against, to consider the names of the demigods to be equal to or independent of the name of Krishna, to minimize the authority of the Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version, to neglect the orders of the spiritual master. You know the 10 offenses. To consider the chanting, the glories of the chanting of the holy name to be imagination, to give some interpretation of the holy name, to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name. To instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. To maintain material attachments, not placing our full faith in the chanting of the holy name, even after hearing so many instructions in the matter. These offenses are to be carefully avoided so that we can achieve the goal, the shelter. And one who is feeling sheltered, it's just like the verse that we were discussing this morning. The dog that has shelter and the dog that has no shelter. These two terms are there. Sanata and anata. One who has shelter, one who has no shelter. And when we have shelter in the holy name, the feeling is safety. protection, well-being, comfort, happiness. The nature of the soul awakens. And all the coverings of the soul fall away. It's like a little seed. And inside the seed, there's life. And outside the seed, there's a shell. And when the seed is nurtured in water, moisture, the seed starts to grow. As the spiritual awakening starts to happening, same as this, as the covering of the seed breaks open, where our hearts are very hard, covered like a seed. But inside that seed is life, spiritual life. The soul is there. And by the process of chanting, it's like watering of that seed. And the seed sprouts. The natural quality of the soul becomes awakened. And the fullness of our spiritual life in sequence, the rest of Shikshastakam describes. But this verse number 5 is very nice. It's shelter taking. Taking the position of full shelter, recognizing our weaknesses, our frailties, the very difficult situation that we find ourselves in, and there's whatever we try to grab a hold of, it doesn't help us. And bad association and the lashing storm, and it's very difficult. But if we take shelter of the transcendental boat of the Holy Name, we can cross beyond this difficult circumstance very quickly and very naturally and in a very sublime way. So this is initiation into the chanting of the Holy Name. I request our candidates to try, initiates, to hear this translated into Hindi afterwards and try to apply yourselves in your elder years of life. How many years do each of you have left? Who can say? Numbered for sure. Apply yourselves diligently in taking shelter of Krishna's holy name. Not simply performing the prescribed number of rounds per day, but taking shelter daily. Strive like that. And for all the rest of us as well. Okay, so I don't know what sequence you're accustomed to, but why don't we do this? They did Achman, and they have their Kunti Mala. So now I think I'll have them take their vows, and then we can do whatever mantras and the fire and everything. Is that okay? Okay, somebody can tell them in Hindi, all three, can go to Prabhupada's Vyasasan and pay their obeisances. Okay, so we need a translator. I'm going to ask you to, in Hindi, you say what the four rules that you'll follow. That's okay. And on these beads, you'll chant how many rounds for the rest of your life?
Till his life, he'll chant 16 rounds.
Okay. Okay, and you'll follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings very carefully for the rest of your life, yes? Absolutely. Okay. Got the body language down. Okay. Your initiated name is Gudakesha Das. Gudakesha is a name of Arjuna found in Bhagavad Gita. Gudakesha means conqueror of sleep or conqueror of ignorance, because ignorance, sleep is like ignorance. So may you awaken fully your Krishna consciousness. You can translate later. Okay. And Yashoda? The four rules that you'll follow? Okay. And you'll chant how many rounds on your beads every day? Okay. And like your husband, you'll follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings carefully, yes? Guaranteed. Okay. Your initiated name is Yashoda Priya Dasi. Her name was... How old is she? Mataji. How many years old? 70. See, now we got the answer. The answer. For 70 years, she's been Yashoda. Now she's Yashoda Priya Dasi. We have these nice names, Muni. Yeah? So, the four rules that you'll follow? Okay. And you'll chant 16 rounds minimum every day? And you'll very carefully follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Yes? Okay. Your initiated name is Maha Medha Dasi. Greatly intelligent. One. The servant of one who is greatly intelligent. Hare Krishna.